Gary Zimak. Today is Tuesday, February the 2nd. Do you know what that means? Well, if you don't, listen to this. Dave Parker, you know that sound, right? Good
yes,
morning,
I do.
Brother,
Good
by
morning.
The way.
Good
you
morning.
Know what that sound is? Today is a feast day.
Yes.
And on feast days, we ring the bell because we celebrate here on Spirit in the Morning. Today is the Feast of the Presentation. This is the day when Jesus was formally presented into the temple. Sometimes this day is referred to as Candlemas. It's all because the light of the world was shown to the entire earth. This is a big deal. You know, this is a formal presentation of Jesus. He was formally presented in the temple. We will read the gospel from today's Mass, which is special for this Feast of the Presentation. We will read that on the program. But I ring the bell because we want to get excited. We want to be celebrating these special feast days. And today we celebrate the light of the world. He illuminates your path. So if you think you're walking in the dark sometime, you never are. You just have to turn to Jesus and ask for his help. He is the light of the world. More about that as we go on with the show. But for now, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart. In union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in thanksgiving for your favors, in reparation for my sins, for the intentions of all my relatives and friends, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak, along with Dave Parker. We're here to entertain you. We're here to inspire you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're here to play you some music. We're here to do lots of good
things. Uplift you.
Right. Later in the program, we will be joined by Colleen Kelly Mast, and we'll talk about love. What is love? Dave, you hear so many times on TV, on the radio, on the internet.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming up. If you love somebody, what we hear is you're going to buy them lots of things. It's about buying. It's about gifts, giving big gifts. But is that really what love's all about? And sometimes, and I don't expect you to answer this, Dave. You look perplexed.
It looks like a rhetorical question coming. Okay.
Colleen's going to talk
great
about
for that.
But sometimes we get caught up in the idea that love is a feeling. It's not always a feeling. And in fact, it really isn't a feeling. Feelings are involved with it, but love is a conscious decision. So Colleen's going to help us to discover that later on in the program. Plus, we'll have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse as well. Right now, Dave, I want to highlight something special that's going on in the area. On February the 11th, there is a national protest against Planned Parenthood. Now, we hear a lot about Planned Parenthood, all these supposed great things that they're doing in the world. But in reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion chain. They kill over 300,000 babies a year. I mean, we got to get real with this and get the word out. But there's a national protest taking place on February the 11th of this year. And here to tell us a little bit about what's happening in the local area on this day, February the 11th, is Victoria Gisondi. She is with Priests for Life. Victoria, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am great. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about what's going to be happening in the area on February the 11th.
Well, first of all, the focus is to defund Planned Parenthood.
Right.
So the national protest is called protestpp.com, and that's where you'll find most of the information and find the one closest to you. But in our area, I'm organizing the one in the Warminster Planned Parenthood, and we have some speakers that might be there. Kevin Burke from Rachel's Vineyard and some Silent No More awareness women with their testimonies, and we almost have it confirmed that Father Frank Pavone will be there as well.
Oh.
But we're going to gather in front of the Planned Parenthood in Warminster with our signs, and we're going to protest and ask for the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And this will be happening, all across the nation.
That's great. And Victoria, what is the address? Where can we go for that?
It's 610 Lewis Drive in Warminster.
Right.
And we'll just we'll be gathered out front in the grassy area. You'll see us. We're going to be there early, so if anyone's driving by and they're not sure where it is, you'll see us.
Okay.
And like I said, it's on February 11th from 10 to 12. in the morning.
You know, I think it's so important that you're doing this. We had Father Pavone on the show not too long ago, and we talked about the importance of getting involved. I think a lot of times we think that I'm only one person. What can I do?
Yeah.
You know, I'm pro-life, but what can I do? This is something concrete that we can do to let the world know what's really going on.
I agree. And, you know, everybody can go and pray.
Right.
It doesn't really require much. And I say this for myself, too. We have a Planned Parenthood in our neighborhood, and I keep meaning to get them myself more often. I know there's groups that are there every Friday faithfully for years.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a minute, Victoria. I have, in the past, prayed a rosary outside of an abortion clinic over in New Jersey. I was really nervous about doing it, though, initially. For the person who may never have done this before and who may think, well, I'm scared to get out there. We're going to be yelled at. We're going to be spat upon, all kinds of bad things. What would you say to encourage that person who maybe has never done this before, but maybe who feels called to do this?
Well, first of all, the pro-lifers are a very peaceful bunch.
Right.
And what you're going to get there 9 times out of 10 is people praying rosaries quietly, not making a lot of noise. Yes, you do have the occasional drive-by insults or, you know, cursing at
right.
you.
Right.
But it's not too often, and it's just it's overall a very peaceful thing. And you just pray, and you just hold your sign quietly, and it's you know, you feel good when you come away after doing something like that. You feel like you're at least doing something physically.
Right.
This is Dave. Yes, I can attest to that because about a year and a half ago, I left the station. We weren't doing the show yet, but I went down there because of a rally that was going on, and you know. Father, I was going to say Monsignor O'Donnell is very well-versed in showing up and going there. He showed up. He was there, as well as Bill Miller. I think Bill Miller showed up, and who are two icons in my mind for the pro-life movement. I don't know if, Victoria, you know Bill Miller or Monsignor O'Donnell.
I don't know Monsignor. I do know Bill Miller.
Okay. But again, that was my first time going there. And I'd always thought about it. Well, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. And it was easy. I just went, showed up, and not only the feeling, but the knowing that one has done great things for the Lord praying the rosary in public.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
And it's easy.
That's
the nail on the head. It's an easy thing to do. It's not intimidating once you're there at all.
Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is you're not alone. You're there with a group of people. You're praying, and we know prayer always has an effect.
Mm-hmm.
We're also giving a public demonstration of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dave said, praying the rosary in public. What a great thing. And also we're letting people know that Planned Parenthood, you know, they're... sometimes it gets their message is what they really do is lost on many people. We need to make people aware of what's really going on there.
I think we're holding them to account, and they're not going to get away with it. And we're shining the light on that on this evil travesty.
Right, right.
I mean, they have been embroiled in so many scandals, and the latest one with the sale of baby parts, which just sort of got swept under the rug in the media. And it's a shame because you can't go online and find a website that, you know, these are mainstream websites that will sort of make it sound as though it's been debunked. It's frustrating.
Right.
And it has not been debunked.
That's right.
You know, there's been Congress has created a select investigative panel on infant lives to investigate all these, you know, accusations and all this corruption out of Planned Parenthood. People don't know that.
No. No, and we need to get the word out. And I thank you, Victoria, for the work that you're doing. I thank you for coming on with us today. And we're going to have the website linked on spiritinthemorning.com. But could you give that national website one more time?
Sure. protestpp.com.
Wonderful. Victoria Gisondi.
Do people need my phone number in case they
would you like to give it? If you'd like to give it out, please do.
Sure. You know, I'll give my email address. That'll be better.
That would be great.
Victoria@priestforlife.org.
Wonderful. Victoria Gisondi, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and thanks for all you do. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. And, you know, that's a really good reminder for those of us who may be feeling the call to get involved in the pro-life movement. I mean, this is not violent. The people are not going to be out there screaming and yelling. This is a peaceful, prayerful witness, mm-hmm. I would say. You know, it's
excellent word.
Technically witness. A protest, but it's mm-hmm. really a witness. It's a mm-hmm. positive thing. Yeah. We're getting out there and praying. We're showing we're not violent.
Exactly.
And we're letting it be made known that we're not going to accept the lies that the world mm-hmm. is telling us about Planned Parenthood. So anyway, you can find out more information at the website. That's going to be linked at spiritinthemorning.com. I want to read today's gospel. As I mentioned, today is the Feast of the Presentation. Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 2. Verses 22 through 40. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted. And you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. There, boy, that is some action-packed gospel. What we see here is the presentation of Jesus in the temple by his parents, Mary and Joseph. Certainly, Jesus didn't need a purification. Mary did not need a purification. But what they were doing, they were going along with the law. This was the law of the Israelites. They were going along with the law because they were setting an example. And here what we see is really the first public appearance of Jesus. The light of the world came into the temple. We see Simeon and Anna, two holy people who were waiting for the Messiah. Sometimes you and me, we take it for granted because we know we have Jesus, but people were waiting for thousands of years for the Messiah to arrive. The prophets had predicted that he was coming. Simeon and Anna, they saw Jesus. They saw him with their own eyes. Simeon gave some harsh words to Mary. He reminded her, and remember, Mary didn't know everything in advance. He reminded her that she was going to have to suffer, but Simeon also gave glory to God, as did Anna, because they got to see Jesus. Do you do that every time you receive him in Holy Communion? Think about that. Do you give glory that you are seeing the Messiah with your own eyes? Man, very, very powerful. When we come back, we're going to have some information from our Holy Father, Pope Francis, about evangelization. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for February 2nd. Today we celebrate the presentation of the Lord. 40 days ago, we celebrated the birth of Jesus. Today, we mark the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple. According to Mosaic law, a woman was considered ritually unclean for 40 days following childbirth. At that point, she was expected to present herself to the priests at the temple and offer sacrifice to mark her purification. Actually, anyone who had brushed against mystery, birth or death, was similarly excluded from Jewish worship. Today's feast is as much a celebration of Jesus' first appearance in the temple as Mary's purification. In Luke's gospel, Jesus was welcomed in the temple by Simeon and Anna, who acknowledged the infant as the long-awaited Messiah. From what we know, the Feast of the Presentation was observed in the Western Church as early as the end of the 4th century, though likely much earlier, when gala processions recalled the introduction of Christ into the house of God. In the early 8th century, Pope Sergius inaugurated a candlelight procession as part of the observance. At the end of the same century, the blessing and distribution of candles became part of the celebration, giving the feast its popular name, Candlemas. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
That was What Love Is This by Carrie Joe. Pretty song, isn't it? And, you know, it's funny. Later on in the show, I don't know if it's funny, but that's just an expression I'm using, Dave. Yes, it's not really that funny. We're going to be talking.
You use a lot of expressions sometimes.
Yes.
It's good.
We are going to, sometimes without thinking. Right?
Well, me too.
I do a lot without thinking around here. Later on in the show, Colleen Kelly Mast will be joining us to talk about love. What is love, really? I mean, we have a concept of love, but sometimes we're surprised when we look at what love really is. We'll talk about that with Colleen later on. I'm Gary Zimek along with Dave Parker. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. Your current temperature, 37 degrees. Today's forecast, partly sunny with a high near 44. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 23. Friday, partly sunny with a high near 36. Currently in Yardley, it's 35 degrees. In Westchester, 32 degrees. And in Riverton, New Jersey, it is 37 degrees. All right, Dave, we got a lot going on today. It is this week, actually. It's Catholic Schools Week week. And I wanted to call attention to the fact that today, Thursday, February the 2nd at 10 a.m., Archbishop Charles Chaput will host the Keystone event for Catholic Schools Week in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So this is the big event taking place today. That'll be at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, 100 East Wynwood Road in Wynwood, PA. He's going to be making an announcement regarding a historic partnership between the 17 Archdiocesan Catholic high schools and Catholic Relief Services.
Wow.
So that's going to be forthcoming today.
Look forward to that. So stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah, and this has been a great week in as we celebrated Catholic schools throughout the area. Catholic schools in the Delaware Valley have been doing special events all week. Earlier this week, we had as our guest Denise LaPera from, she's the president of Archbishop Ryan High School, my alma mater. And she was on sharing what they're doing at Ryan. We are going to actually be broadcasting live from Archbishop Ryan High School on February the 21st. That'll be fun, Dave.
Absolutely.
We're getting out on the road again. Yeah, I always like when we're able to do that.
Absolutely.
And then March the 4th, I believe. I always get that date wrong. It's the Saturday, Man Up Philly.
Man Up Philly,
the
yes.
big Philadelphia
St.
Men's
Joe's
Conference.
University.
That's right. We're going to be doing a special Saturday edition of Spirit in the Morning. They're letting us go out and do our thing live from the Philly Men's Conference. Yes. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And I invite any men out there listening, driving to work, getting ready to go to work, who have thought about it. You know, the parishes are announcing it. You know, it's in our Cabrini's Bulletin. So come on down. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. And it's very uplifting.
It is. And we're going to hear more about that next Tuesday. Eustace Mita, who is one of the big organizers of the Man Up Philly Conference, he's going to be joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Eustace is a great guy.
Yes, he is.
Very motivational.
Very motivational. Well, I've gone to several Man Ups in the past, and what a story he has on his conversion. So I'm sure, I don't know it precisely, but I remember him sharing it with the group. So everyone who, the organizers have always, in my mind, have had a conversion experience, you know, from their lives of being in the secular world and really coming to Christ.
Yeah, so that's going to be a powerful witness, so make sure you tune in. Next Tuesday, Eustace will be with us to talk about Man Up Philly and how it can make a difference in your life. All right, some sports news. Last night, Villanova downed Providence 66-57. That's some good news, right? Fourth-ranked wild cards. They went cold offensively, but in the last 6 minutes, they rallied to win 66-57 over the Friars in a Big East Conference matchup. The Sixers, unfortunately, did not fare as well last night. 113-95. They lost to the Mavericks. It's their eighth consecutive loss to the Dallas Mavericks.
Wow.
Their record is now 18-30. They play again tonight against San Antonio. We'll see what happens. LaSalle last night, they snapped a three-game skid with a win over UMass, 88-78.
All right. I like that skid.
Yeah, that's right.
They were skidding, were they?
That's right. And then our Philadelphia Flyers play tonight against Montreal. It's going to be 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Hey, Gary, can I jump in? Off of sports, but on the weather. I mean, I thought, did you get your weather forecast from the that furry prognosticator in Punxsutawney?
Oh, no, I did not.
Today is Groundhog Day, and the premier groundhog. I know others have sprung up, as it were, from other parts of the country. But Punxsutawney Phil is an icon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I went to college in Western Pennsylvania, not too far from Punxsutawney.
Yeah.
And my wife and I had some friends there. One of them was I went to Clarion University, and one of them was a grad. And anyways, but I think that's big. That's big today.
And that's going to be happening.
If you believe it or not.
That'll be happening later today, right?
Yes. Well, at sunup. And it may have
happened. Well, if we get any late-breaking news about Punxsutawney Phil, I'm sure Frank Eliason, our director of operations, will
he's scrambling
will get that
right
news.
Now.
Frank is on it.
Our technical guru.
We'll keep you posted. We will break into our show if we have new information. Hey,
thanks, Gare.
I want to briefly, we have a few minutes left, I believe. Right, Dave?
Yes.
I mentioned that Pope Francis had a message to the laity, and I'm going to have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Here's what the Pope said, and I think this is so powerful. His message, go out, evangelize, or else buy mothballs. What does that mean? Here's what the Pope said. Sometimes I think the best business we can do with many Christians is to sell them mothballs so they can put them in their clothes and in their lives and aren't eaten by moths. What he means by that, he's encouraging us, members of the laity, not just the clergy. Sometimes we think that it's only up to the priest and the deacons to talk about Jesus. He said we need to go outside of ourselves and take risks in evangelizing rather than staying stuffed up at home while the moths move in. And even stronger language, he said, tell the laity to come out of the caves. Direct quote, they need to go out. They have to bring the message of Jesus to others, explaining that the good news is meant to be shared and not stored away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just amazing. It's just really strong language. He stressed the importance also of practicing the works of mercy, not just preaching with words, but practicing the words of mercy, I guess that's the Italian version, which are the backbone of the gospel.
Yes.
And get this, Dave,
yes.
And on which we will eventually be judged. The end of our life, the Lord's not going to say, hey, Gar, did you talk a lot about me?
Yeah.
He's going to say, well, that's great you talked about me, but what did you do?
In a way, he's saying talk is cheap, folks.
That's right.
It's in our actions.
So these are strong words, and he said, we need courage, and in order to get that courage to go out and spread the good news, what do we have to do? We have to pray. Check this article out. You're going to love it at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, Colleen Kelly Mast will join us. We're going to talk about love. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. A standoff continues at a prison in Smyrna, Delaware, where inmates are reportedly holding two corrections department workers hostage. Two other hostages have been released. Inmates at the James T. Vaughn Correctional Center told a local newspaper that concerns about their treatment and President Donald Trump prompted their actions. Meanwhile, President Trump is scheduled to speak this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington. Religious conservatives who helped propel him to the White House are watching closely for him to deliver on promised protections for religious liberty. Protesters hurled smoke bombs, broke windows, and sparked a massive bonfire last night at the University of California at Berkeley. The burst of violence followed peaceful protests against a scheduled talk by an editor of Breitbart News. The talk was canceled. And a dramatic stream of molten lava continues to shoot out of a sea cliff on Hawaii Island, splashing into the Pacific Ocean below and exploding upon impact. The molten lava, which began as a drizzle on New Year's Eve, is now arching out and falling about 70 feet to the ocean below. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. St. Thérèse of Lisieux is much beloved because of her simple yet profound approach to loving God and doing His will. On her deathbed, she uttered the words, "Everything is grace," which reflected her philosophy that even life's struggles had purpose in the greater scheme of things. Singer Matt Marr is an admirer of St. Thérèse and wrote a song inspired by her called "Everything is Grace." During a Christopher Close-Up interview, he told me, "A lot of those valleys that we walk through can become profound places of transformation where we're actually brought closer to God. There is an opportunity in everything to receive grace for the journey and for life, and to love people no matter how difficult things may seem." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
By Jason Gray. Doesn't that make you feel happy? What we need to remember is the Lord is in charge. Let's relax. Let's be like the sparrows and be happy. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. It's 7:35 right now. And Dave Parker, we have late breaking news. This just in.
Yes, we do.
Punxsutawney Phil apparently has seen his shadow. six more weeks of winter
are in
store for us. Now, you told me on the break that apparently there are now competing groundhogs.
Yes. So I think there's a groundhog union.
So if you don't like Phil's forecast, I'm sure you could find a groundhog that supports your belief. Right. Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes. But he's the Pennsylvania groundhog, and he was
that's
the first.
Right,
okay?
That's right. So we felt this is important to get that news to you, that late-breaking news. So apparently, for what it's worth, six more weeks of winter
keeping it light
are on the way. Now, oh man, let's shift gears a little bit here. Dr. Colleen Kelly-Mast is an author, speaker, radio personality. She is one of the favorites on Holy Spirit Radio. Her program airs every Saturday right here on Holy Spirit Radio. She was kind enough to agree to join us, to join the craziness here on Spirit in the Morning. We're going to talk about love today. Colleen, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. I'm dancing with the sparrows right here.
That's
coming
awesome.
Coming down from that, ready to talk about love.
Colleen, I'm so glad you could join us on the program today. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up very soon.
Oh, I know.
Right?
I know.
And all
Aren't
we hear.
Over the store.
That's right.
I buy candy for my wife who's on a diet. That's or not.
And if we don't, Colleen, if we don't spend a lot of money on our loved ones, then we don't really love them. That's the message we hear.
That's one of those 50 Shades of Lies we're hearing, right?
That's right. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about love. Sometimes we look at love as a feeling. I feel.
Yeah.
Good. That's how I express my love. It's all about feelings. But in reality, there is an emotional component to it. There are feelings associated with love, but not always.
You're right. Yeah. Love can't, you know, it's nice when you feel love. That's great. It's a perk. But really, when you look at Jesus and how he taught Christians to love, how he started out this whole love thing, first by creating the world, but then by coming and sacrificing himself for the good of others. Like, he gave himself totally, his time, his talent, his treasures, his efforts. He healed people. You know, so he taught us that love is sacrifice. It's a decision to sacrifice, even if it doesn't feel good, because I don't think the crucifixion felt really good, nor did the scourging at the pillar. But he taught us how to love. So for us to translate that into how do I live that today, if it's okay with you, Gary, I want to tell a couple funny jokes that aren't that funny when you hear them, but they're about love.
Please do.
Somebody asked these little kids, ages 4 to 8 years old, to define love. And you listen to them, Gary, and tell me which one of these you might think is closest to real Christian love. Not just the feeling, but the reality of love. So wait till you hear the wisdom.
Sure.
One little girl said, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. But the six-year-old said, love is when you go out and eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Now a five-year-old said, love is when someone hurts you and you get so mad, but you don't yell at him because you know it would hurt his feelings. A nine-year-old said, love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure the taste is okay. Might be a little selfish motive there. But then another, love is when mommy smells daddy and he's smelly and sweaty and still says he is handsomer than Robert Redbird. And the last one. See, your wife says that to you, right? But the last one, here's a seven-year-old that said, you can break love, but it won't die.
Wow. Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah, really. Listen to, of those, what do you think of what love is after hearing kids' perceptions of love?
It's very interesting. They actually get it better than we do sometimes, don't they, right?
I know.
I mean, they get it. We complicate it too much.
I know. Give them your French fries without making them give you any of theirs.
It's so simple. It's so simple.
But the part about you get so mad, but you don't yell at him because you know it'll hurt his feelings. Like, what if this child's parents did that? Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, that's so great. Colleen, let me ask you about this idea of love. It's easy for me to think about loving my wife, loving my children, maybe loving my brothers or sisters. That's easy. I get that. But how can I show love to the average person on the street, the driver who cuts me off in traffic, the person who just gets on my nerves. What can I do to express my love for that person?
Okay. Well, first, in order to do that, and I know you've talked to everybody about this before, Gary, you have to fill yourself with God's love each morning before you set out on the expressway or go off to work.
Yes.
Because it's not our love that we give to other people. I mean, we run out, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We have our limitations because we're human beings. But if we continue to just keep that mindset and keep ourselves filled with that grace that says we are here to give love to even the people we don't like, people who don't understand us, you know, when we're getting on the expressway, and there's somebody doing that right now, actually, while they're listening to your show.
I know. Out there filling, I know.
You know, can you pause and let that other driver in, knowing that you are putting someone else first? Maybe you need to leave 5 minutes earlier so you can let three people in.
Wow.
And you know how appreciative they're going to be and how much your heart will be filled in love. Or maybe there's this coworker at the office cooler. You dread going to coffee break or, you know, back to the lunchroom because you know this person's going to complain. They're going to snap at you. Like, what if your whole mission today at work was to just be so kind to that person that it would take their breath away? They'd be like, whoa. I mean, then they'd feel God's mercy without you saying the word God. They'd think like, why did George say such nice things to me today? Not necessarily flattery, but just something deep that might touch their heart, or, you know, a genuine compliment, or, you know, if somebody misunderstands us, maybe it's our boss or something like that. How can we show understanding to them? Like, wow, I can see you've got a lot of stress going on, rather than snapping back at them. Like, those are the ways where we have to dig deep inside of ourselves, our hearts, our minds, and say, how can I love beyond my capacity? And that's not only going to show these other people love and take their breath away, but you're going to feel great inside your heart, too.
Just before we brought you on, Colleen, we were talking about a message from the Holy Father. He was recently speaking about Catholic laity needs to start. We need to start getting out and evangelizing, sharing the good news. But he said it's not just with words, it's with the works of mercy. And he said, and this was powerful, he said, that's what we're going to be judged on one day. And what you're saying is that we really have this obligation to love one another. And it doesn't always feel good to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, especially when you think of that one spiritual work of mercy, bear wrongs patiently.
Oh, I don't like that one.
I don't like that one. Because if somebody wronged us, we either want them to know that, we want to fix it, or we want to defend ourselves.
What if
when someone wronged us, that we just began to pray and said, Lord, they might be wrong, but I'm asking you to fill me with your love. What kind of grace would be present in that room at that moment? You're right, that it's those little ways of our instant reaction, that instead of feeding our own egos or pride or our own desire for comfort or pleasure or attention, that we sat back very humbly, filled ourselves with God's love, and just passed that on, sometimes quietly, sometimes with loving words.
Colleen, you're making me feel very uncomfortable at the moment because I realize I got a lot of work to do. But that's why I like.
Jesus Christ came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. There you go. And I think we need that because oftentimes we create our own version of Jesus in our minds, and he always approves of us yelling at other people, you know, because we had a right to do it. But the real Jesus, he it's a different story. He turns things upside down.
I think my wife is listening, you know, and I think I'll hear about this. I don't know about you, Gary, or maybe Frank, you know.
I don't know, but it's good. We need to hear this, Colleen. We need to hear the truth.
Yeah. Do you know that my husband listens to my own show? He comes out here in the kitchen and gets on the internet and listens to my own show and learns things every week.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. It's great that we all learn from our ministries. I mean, it's beautiful. Those of us who do public ministry, I think that oftentimes we hear the Holy Spirit speaking through us to us, right? He speaks to us, too.
Exactly.
Colleen,
God has lessons to teach us.
Absolutely. Hey, Colleen, we have about a minute left. Can I ask you, where is the best place that we can follow you online?
Okay. Sexrespect.com. Sexrespect.com. And so that's easy to remember, sexrespect.com. And right there, if they want to learn about my new Love Ed program for parents with their little kids or parents with preteens or teens, they can just click on Love Ed. But go to sexrespect.com, and that's where they can hear about my, or read about my, you know, speaking, my radio, my materials, things like that.
Wonderful. And I'll have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Oh,
it was great.
It's been a pleasure to be with you, Gary.
Would you come back one day?
Of course I will.
great. And thanks for all the work that you do. It's great catching up with you. Hopefully I'll get to see you in person again one day. We seem to meet at these different conferences around the country.
Conferences, right. Yes, and keep up your good work, too. And thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure to be with you and all our friends out there in the Philly area.
Thank you so much, Colleen Kelly Mast. We're going to be right back in a couple of minutes, and we'll share the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day, which is something that I picked out for the Feast of the Presentation. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. I'm Gary Zimek. Your Spirit in the Morning wake-up time is 7:46.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. It's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. You got pain. He's a pain taker.
By Zach Williams. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. You know, that is one of the most popular contemporary Christian songs for several weeks. That was charting at number one on the Billboard Christian charts. A great song, Chainbreaker by Zach Williams. Ultimately, Jesus Christ, he's the chainbreaker. If you're chained down by any bad things in your life, he's the guy to break those chains. Before I do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, I want to mention one little programming note. At 9:15 this morning, I'm going to be the guest with Teresa Tomeo on Catholic Connection. We're going to be talking about my new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. So check that out. We air that show live on Holy Spirit Radio today at 9:15. I'm going to be Teresa Tomeo's guest. Always fun hanging out with Teresa. She's going to be my guest next week, giving us a recap of the March for Life. I think that's on Tuesday. We're going to have her call in and talk about that. Let's do our Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. From, and this is specific for the Feast of the Presentation. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention before that, I was asked to bring this to your attention. February the 16th, I'm going to be speaking at St. Rose of Lima Parish in North Wales. My talk will be From Fear to Faith. So if you're somebody who's a little anxious, check it out. You can find out more information about all my upcoming talks, and I have several in the area in the next few weeks at my website, followingthetruth.com. But St. Rose of Lima Parish, North Wales, From Fear to Faith, February the 16th at 7:30 p.m. I'd love to see you there. And we'll talk about how to move away from worry and move closer to Jesus Christ. It's not that hard. Believe me, if I can do it, you can do it. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse, Luke 2:22. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Basically, I talked about this when we did the gospel. Jesus is the light of the world. He came into the temple and everybody could see him. If you think you're walking in darkness, you're not. Turn to Jesus. Start getting used to speaking to him every day. Read a little scripture. Read the daily mass readings. Go over to your adoration chapel. Pray in front of him. You get to see Jesus just like Simeon and Anna did in today's gospel. I think so many times we take him for granted. Go to daily mass. Receive the sacrament of reconciliation. These are ways that you can encounter Jesus. Here we are, oftentimes struggling in life. We don't even realize we're not walking in the darkness. We have Jesus. So remember that today on this Feast of the Presentation. And now we have a special guest with us.
Another one.
Frank Eliason.
I'm special in many ways.
You are special, Frank. You're special to us. You are director of operations. You
Let have us a, count the ways.
That's right. That's right. And I think Dave wants to share his French fries with you.
Oh, later. Yeah. And you, Gare. Yeah. After listening to Colleen, I got to share with you guys. I can't be stingy. Sorry.
McDonald's after the show.
That's right. Frank, you have some. First of all, you have a special programming note. Then you have something else for us today.
Yeah. So we do have a programming note for today. At 11:30 today, we're going to interrupt programming. You know, always love interrupting programming. But we're going to bring the Papal Mass. So from St. Peter's Basilica, Holy Mass presided over by Pope Francis.
Great.
For the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. You know, it's one of those things. Yesterday we brought the funeral for Bishop Lohmuller and, you know, being able to bring a papal mass today, this is what radio is about. This is what we are able to do and deliver.
Right.
And so we have the opportunity to bring it. So we're going to bring that live at 11:30 today. So we'll be interrupting programming from 11:30. We'll go till approximately 1 o'clock.
Great. Now I was going to say,
kudos to, to Frank yesterday. I was listening to the mass for Bishop Lohmuller, and you did a great job.
It was much better on the replay because I actually did mess up at one point and I was able to edit that out.
Editing can be good, folks. But
we love editing.
Anyway, the nature of live radio.
That's right. A lot of times you'll hear us live and then you'll listen to the podcast. You'll say, wait, that sounds different. Well, there's a reason.
The benefit to being able to fix things.
We call it magic.
That's right.
The magic of radio.
But we also, we have a tweet from the Pope.
Oh, let's hear
it. One of the fun things about this show is being able to bring Twitter to radio. Mm-hmm. So Pope Francis tweeted out today, consecrated life is a great gift of God, a gift of God to the church, a gift of God to his people. And as I was reading this, and, I was actually, kind of taken in by it in many ways, but I also was like, I wonder how many people really understand consecrated life.
Good point.
And so, what is consecrated life? It's a stable form of Christian living by those faithful who feel called to follow Jesus Christ in a more exacting way recognized by the church. It is characterized by the public profession of the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience in stable state of life recognized by the church. That's from Wikipedia. But think about that and think about how we live our life. Now, it goes with your talking earlier about what the Pope has been saying about living it and showing it. It's exactly what that little tweet, that 140 characters or less, that is what he's talking about.
The great thing about our Holy Father is he makes us very uncomfortable at times. And I think that's a good thing. I think we can't get too comfortable because oftentimes we start to get complacent and think, oh, I'm a good Catholic. I'm really good. I'm so good. And then he comes and levels us with a comment, like with some of his comments, right?
Exactly. You know, we like to live our life in a certain way. We like to basically say, oh, that's bad over there. This is bad. I'm good. The reality is we can all be better in many ways and, you know, in the way we live our life.
Yes, I was going to say this, the upcoming gospel and readings, it goes to, it goes to being salt and light, you know. And I went to a Bible study after Mass yesterday at Cabrini, but that's what's coming up. So maybe that's a precursor from the Pope. You know, about talking. We gotta uncover, take the basket off the light.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And it's more than just words. Words are important, but it's our actions.
It's actions, and there's so many people that are doing things. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to go out and do things. Not everybody's able
Correct.
To. But there's things you can do yourself. You know, maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's you know, just the way you love your family members or others. You know, but showing the faith in a very different fashion. You know, oftentimes we like to show the faith by telling everybody who's bad. You know what?
Right.
That's easy.
It is.
It's not as easy to sit there and show the love for your enemy.
Right. And Frank, a lot of times what we do is we'll look at somebody else and we'll compare ourselves to that person. And we always pick people like mass murderers, criminals, people that are doing unethical things. They're the ones we pick. But if we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, all of a sudden it becomes a different story.
Even in all the fighting I'm watching in politics within, you know, Facebook, you know, I'm about to
break Facebook's an ugly place.
Ready to delete the app.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, if someone has an alternate view than you, are you showing them the love? Are you showing them the respect? Oftentimes that's not what's happening.
Right, right. And even if we, of course, we're called to proclaim the truth because there is only one truth, but we have to listen to other people. We have to do that out of love, out of respect, right? At least we can listen.
And oftentimes we're actually closer together than we realize.
Right.
You know, if you actually kind of dwell, but we don't take the time to understand why people think the way they do.
That's right. That's right. And we need to get better at that. And Pope Francis is doing a good job reminding us of that fact. And we're going to continue to bring you some of his messages because we often don't hear what he's really saying. He's saying some great things spiritually. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to bring you those messages. Mm-hmm. Let's conclude with our prayer now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty ever-living God, we humbly implore your majesty that just as your only begotten Son was presented on this day in the temple, in the substance of our flesh, so by your grace we may be presented to you with minds made pure. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is a fun show, guys. Thanks for being here. You know, it was great that we got to present Punxsutawney Phil's message.
No, it wasn't a good message.
No, it wasn't. But look, so go find another groundhog who supports your position. Hey, thanks again for joining us. We hope you can join us tomorrow. Remember, the Lord's with you wherever you go. Turn around and say hi. See you next time.